Hey girl, how are you?
I am fabulous and feeling fine. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored.
Amen. That's what I want to hear.
Let's start it up,
y'all. Welcome to This Black Girl Podcast, another edition. I know y'all's been waiting for it, but here we are.
I am one half of your hosts, Ola Miss Lola, aka Lola.
I am the other half of your hosts at The Hill Diva on Instagram, but you can call me Miss Hill Diva.
So the question I wanted to pose to you and I wanted to bring up is centered around the topic of Black women and luxury. Mm-hmm. Now, for myself, I normally consider myself a bougie woman. But mm-hmm. I've never necessarily associated that with, like, name brands or considered myself to be, like, wealthy or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to ask you, like, what is your relationship with the term or topic wealth? And, like what is your definition of it?
Okay, so for me, when it comes to luxury, you know, I've always been a stush bitch, but I've never been under the spell of designer, you know, like, I know that a lot of girls I know were, like, under the spell, you know, where it's like they just lusted after name brands and, you know, high-end things and always want, like, a man to buy it for them or they'll save up to buy, you know, whatever. I've always been very level-headed when it comes to that stuff. It's mm-hmm. not like it. No, sure, it's beautiful. If someone wants to buy me something luxury, that is fine. But I've always been a live within my means type of chick. Like, I've been cheap. I'm a friggin' cheap bitch. The way I... No, I am. I'm a cheap bitch all the way. I cannot lie. But looking at me, if you saw what I wear and you saw what I look like, you would assume that I'm wearing clothes that are expensive. But girl, I found this at the friggin' clearance aisle of God knows what, you know, nice urban store. You know what I mean? Like, I like to be flexible, but responsible, like, in a sense. And that was when I paid for the clothes, okay? But that's another story. I was a bad little girl. Oh my God. Oh my God. I was a bad little girl when I was a teenager. Yes. But no, we grown and sexy now. And I love, you know, I do like nice things because now that I'm 30, mm-hmm. I do love my little nice things, but I still don't lust after it. I've just never had that, you know, feeling of the siren in the night, you know, calling out to me, that Louis Vuitton bag calling out. I've had boyfriends buy me luxury things before, but which I did appreciate, like, oh, how sweet, he got me this and I felt nice. But
yeah,
not a do or die for me. Like, I'm so laid back that, like, a man could buy me a burger, a friggin' Big Mac for Women's Day, and I feel amazing. Like, I don't want flowers because they gonna die. I want flowers. If you're gonna buy me flowers in a pot, you know, that I can walk
yeah.
forever. I don't want no dying flowers in a vase in my house.
So
okay. Big Mac if I'm a foodie, but keep going.
No, I was gonna say, like, my mindset is a little parallel to yours, and mm-hmm. just, like, hearing you talk about and touch certain things, and I'm, like, having flashbacks, okay? I'm having flashbacks about my life, and I'm just like, yo, like, no disrespect to some people, like, I am slicker than your average, period, point blank, because, like, I wonder, I'm like, how did I end up so bougie? And then, like, I think of little things, like, I got my first Louis Vuitton when I was in my early teens. Like, when I was 13, okay?
Uh-uh.
But here's the joke. But I ended up finding it at, like, a secondhand shop, a Salvation Army. I just happened to have, like, a really awesome buy. Growing up, when I first started dabbling in makeup, the brands that I used to fuck with, MAC.
Mm-hmm.
But It's because like we were able to go to like warehouse sales, get it on sale, get it discounted, things like that. Like growing up, going to school and stuff like that. Like when we're not wearing uniforms, like I'm wearing like guest pants and shoes and bags. And again, because like we be thrifting, you know, so so it's not necessarily what you have, or I guess I don't want to say it's what you have, but it's also how you got it, because it's like on the surface, like I remember growing up, a lot of times like people would just look at me and be like, oh, you're rich, your family's rich, you're bougie, you're this, and it's like no. Like, you know, like not really. It's just, you know, my mom was smarter than the average bear and would, you know, not necessarily want to shop and buy shit for her kids at Walmart, and there's nothing wrong with that, but then she did the next best thing, which was like occasionally thrifting and, you know, buying stuff on clearance, shopping at Winners, things like that, you know.
Girl, trust me, we're talking about thrifting.
Yeah,
same here, my family's the queen of that. Keep going.
No, but I'm just saying it's funny because like I was exposed to that kind of lifestyle. So when I would see a brand name, or I'd see like MAC this, Clinique that, Estee Lauder this, Guess that, whatever, like it didn't faze me. So now that I'm older, I'm not sitting here crying over, oh my gosh, I wish I had this $1,200 coat. Like, I don't care.
Hell no. Yeah.
I don't care. Like, if I want shit, I want shit because it looks nice, you know? Right. And if and the funnier thing is, when I do have something that I really like, that I find like very nice, I barely wear it. Right. If that makes sense, you know?
Of where course, you preserve it, like.
Right. Mm-hmm. So like I have this really cute designer bag that my boyfriend bought me for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And it's like this gorgeous leather designer Korean handbag, handcrafted. Mm-hmm. And it's like so gorgeous that I can't even bring myself to wear it. But now he's upset because I don't wear it.
It's so funny.
Like, make it make sense.
For me, it's funny because I've always had a relationship with designer like items that I'm annoyed. I would be almost in contempt of it. You know what I mean? Like, to the point where like, well, what makes you so hot, fucking Michael Kors? What makes you so hot, Tommy Hilfiger or whatever the hell it is? You know what I mean? Like, what makes that so good? Like, Kate Spade? Like, I can make Hilda Moe. Like, I'd always think, no, Hilda Moe is a friggin' brand. I could put that on a brand and sell that shit. So I've always felt like y'all think you're hot. You're not hot shit to me. You know what I mean? So I've kind of been like, kind of in contempt of them, but if a guy bought it for me, if someone else is paying for it, I do not care. I'm like, all right, whatever. It's a bag, it's a bag, it's a bag. But it doesn't have that lust to me, because for me, I do not value objects anyway. I've never been like a jewelry wearer, a heavy, you know, makeup wearer, a heavy, you know, clothes. I've always been into my fashion, but never like, I don't care where I buy it from because of my body and what I look like in anything. You know what I mean? I just love my freaking style. I love the style that I like. So I could go anywhere. I can go to the thrift store and come out looking like $1,000,000. I could go to a high-end store coming out look like $1,000,000. Or I could go to Walmart in the middle and come out looking like $1,000,000, because it's just my eye and my style, and I like my own, you know what I mean? Like my own style, my own vision.
Yeah. But No, I was going to say, I'm kind of like at that same point right now.
Mm-hmm. But like, it's my own mom and family has never lusted after those things too. So I could have kind of been like that. My mom, I have a sister. My sister and my mom literally are like, they love going to like the Goodwill. They love going to find gems at the Salvation Army. They'll go to Value Village. Like, yeah, they like to go to their nice stores as well. But they do not turn their nose up to a thrift store at all. Like, they call all Value Village VV Boutique, okay? I'm sorry, mama. I'm sorry if I put your business out there. So if you hear them talk about VV Boutique, you know that's Value Village. Like, where'd you have that nice necklace?
VV Boutique, girl. Yo, I'm here for it. I'm going to tell you a story. So And it's, and it goes to show like that our family, well, we like to think that we're materialistic, but we know we aren't. So my mom got this really cute like designer watch. She, and I think she, I'm pretty sure she thrifted it, but I'm not sure where she got it, but she got this really nice designer watch. It was a very expensive watch, very cute bougie watch for my brother. And so she let him wear it or whatever, like, here, here's a nice watch, here, you wear it, da 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 da, and so time passed, we found, and like my thing, my mom was asking one day, like, hey, where's your watch? And my brother's kind of ducking the question. She's like, where's the watch? And come to find out, he actually gave the watch to some girl that he was trying to impress. Like, and she obviously was like, ooh, I like your watch. And he's like, oh yeah, you could wear it. Like, whatever, trying to flex. And so, oh, my mom lost her whole mind. She's like, you need to dial that little pig nip bitchy. Well, she didn't call her a bitch, but like, you know, get my watch back. I never bought your watch for you. Go and give it away for da-da-da. And it's like, I thought like, and it's funny, it's funny now in retrospect, but it's like in the moment, me and my brother, I felt like we were both kind of trying to understand like what was the big deal. Like, right, maybe you shouldn't, like, in my head I'm thinking, why would you give away a watch that's yours, right, when she's valuing the designer over the fact, like, me and my brother, we're like, I grew up very like, this is my stuff, even if I'm not using it, it's my stuff, don't touch it, unless I give it to you, don't touch it. That's kind of how I grew up. I didn't, it was never because it was Tommy Hilfiger, it was never because it was Michael Kors, it was never because this was a Guess or a Gucci purse or a Louis, even my Louis Vuitton purse, it wasn't even because it was Louis Vuitton,
right,
it's because it's mine,
right, exactly.
And that, like, and that's how I am even now to this day, like, even with makeup and stuff, like, don't touch my makeup. That's like, don't go there. I'll show you makeup, don't touch it though, nobody asked you.
Yeah, exactly. No, I hear that though, I fully hear that. And me, as I always felt like an only child growing up, because my closest sibling, I'm the youngest of five, and my closest sibling to me is 5 years away, right?
Right.
So she didn't want to hang out with me. She didn't want nothing to damn well do with me. She was all taking other kids in the neighborhood younger than me out to baseball games and not taking my ass. And I'm her own damn sister, girl. I was so pissed. Anyway, but so because I was an only child, okay?
Yeah.
I didn't like no one touching my shit either, because I was always alone. I would always hang out with my friends. I would do my own thing. And yeah. I don't like people touching my friggin' stuff. So that is how I am now too. Like, when something is mine, it's like, my precious.
You know? Like, yeah, yeah. Like, don't do it. Don't,
you know,
do it.
I don't want no one touching my stuff. So if I have something that is, you know, particularly special, for me, really, it wouldn't be necessarily a name brand thing. Like, I just like,
right. You know, just, it's like, the sentimental. Like. It's the sentimental stuff that like, you're just like, don't go there. Like, don't go there. Don't touch that. Don't look that way. Don't breathe. Thank you.
And I also think too, when it comes to name brand, that it also has a connection with your relationship to money, right?
Right.
Because for me, I was always, growing up, I was always very, very thrifty, stingy, and anxious, really, with money. Like, I always was like wanting to be as cheap as possible and kind of hoard my money and keep it.
Yeah.
And until I found something I liked, and then I didn't give a damn. Like, I remember when I had my first job, and in high school, I was 17, working at Tim Hortons, loving my life, okay? And I left my purse in the hallway during drama class. We were doing like acting in the hallway, and then we had to come back in the class. I forgot my purse.
Uh-oh.
Girl, yeah. Purse gone, okay? I don't even know. Fuck. I don't know how quickly I even came back out. Purse gone. And then they ended up finding my purse in the boys' bathroom, okay?
Of course.
Yeah, with all my ID, everything was in it except for like the $20 or whatever money I had. And my cell phone was gone as well. Girl,
I know.
Yeah, and it was back when there was no SIM cards. It was a telephone that just had the like ESN number or whatever. So
yeah,
once the phone was gone, you just had to buy another full phone, right? Because there was no SIM.
Yep.
So, girl, next day I had a new phone. Boom, $300 gone. Like,
oh, I was that bitch too. Girl, I was that bitch too.
It was savage. And I'm like, damn. I'm thinking back about it now. I don't have $1 from when I worked at that job. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If I was really saving my money and really wise, I would have at least had a good nest egg, you know, from that time in my life. Because all my money is from like recent, like my adult years where I'm thinking, okay, yes, I have a family, I have kids, I have to save, right? But right. It would have been nice to be smarter back then. So I was kind of smart in the sense that I didn't lust after luxury, but I should have been lusting after having a pile of money, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of like depending on how you feel. So some girls will have a different relationship with money where it's like, this money is to get me luxury, you know?
Right.
I always wanted to have a good time. I just wanted my life to be easy and have a good time.
Trust me, at that young age, this is how you know, like, I know, I guess I'm calling myself vain. I personally don't think I'm vain. I just like, I like to look pretty and I like to dress up. So my money, when I was a teenager getting money and stuff, I would be sometimes buying clothes. I usually go through waves where I'm like, I need a whole bunch of clothes and then I don't. I go through sometimes clothing waves, but like I said, makeup, perfumes, getting my nails done. Trust me, when I say I've been getting my nails done for over a decade, I've been getting my nails done for over a decade.
Hey,
I ain't playing. Like, yeah. I've been getting my nails filled in now because, you know, I do my own custom press-ons. Girl, I have not seen a nail salon in over a year plus.
Wow.
sorry to that man. Because here's the problem, because I like to dress up and look different and stuff. Like, you see me on lives, every single live I'm wearing different colors, different makeup, different outfit, different, like, because I get bored. Like Meg says, switch my wig, make him feel like he's cheating. Like, I do that.
Right?
And because of that, like, it makes me want it hell. It makes me want to change my nails too. So I love press-ons. I could just pull it off, pop a new one on, pull it off, pop a new one on, switch it up, switch up my wigs.
Can I please just say, like, I love your freaking style. I love, I admire, and I inspire. You know, I am inspired by your style. I love the wigs, that vibe of just changing with the mood, the eyes, the contacts. Like, I'm loving every minute of it. And you're my style woman inspiration.
Okay. Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you.
I'm loving it, girl. Keep it going.
Well, here's, I don't know. It's like a whole layer of things, because especially now with the pandemic kind of shutting things down, people aren't always going to be out for corporate reasons per se. So now it's like, hell, if I want to wear a hot pink wig, I'm going to wear it. If I want to wear purple, blue, blonde, orange, yellow, like, I don't care. I'm going to wear it because it's like, A, who going to check me? B, who gives a shit? And C, I don't consider it, like, growing up, I used to think of, like, wearing different colors and having different kind of color hair was, like, considered ghetto, you know? And you're always told by, like, older adults, oh, that's too ghetto. That's going to look ghetto. And now it's like, I don't give a shit. Like, the other day, no, I'm lying. It wasn't the other day. It was months and months ago in 2020. My family and I, we had a get together and I had green hair, okay? A green bob. I look fly as fuck. Nobody can tell me nothing up to this point, okay?
I love it.
And my mother was looking at me and she's like, why are you wearing green hair? I looked at her dead in her face. I'm like, why not? Hey. Oh, but that could come off kind of ghetto. I'm like, to who? I'm only here with you guys. To who? Yeah. Exactly. I work from home. To who?
Exactly. Like, no, seriously though. Seriously. And it's a real thing. Like, it's a real thing. And what I love too about that whole vibe is that continuing on the wig vibe is the fact that, like, it's commonplace now, you know, like in fashion. I will say that I do feel kind of sad for the younger generations of this day and age, because the standards of beauty are freaking so high. Like, I feel like 13, 11 year olds, 12 year olds feel like they need to be wearing lashes every day, have booty shots, lip shots, you know, freaking nails done, hair done, edges slayed all day. Like, they all feel like that now. Yeah. But I do like the fact that, you know, freedom of expression is celebrated, like wearing different color hair, wearing wigs, wearing, you know, just being yourself is celebrated. I like that. But I do also feel like it kind of, for the younger generations, you know, in our time when we grew up in the 80s and 90s, you know, just getting a haircut, you know, literally changing your hair a couple of inches was like, wow, you got a hair done. You wow, big hairdo, you know, like now. Yeah, it's like, if you don't have waves, curls, crimps, this, that, braids, blah, blah, it's like it's nothing special.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Now, and it's funny because, like, thinking about it, even being able to, and I wanna touch on this because I don't want it to be thought of as insensitive talking about it, because being able to have, I know, for, at least for me personally, being able to say that I have a collection of wigs and I ain't no Tyra Banks, Nicki Minaj, Beyonce, Rihanna, like, you know, like my job isn't necessarily, like, I'm not an influencer, I'm not a model of some sort,
right?
Like, literally I just give you looks because that is what my soul tells y'all tells me to do, right? So I'm literally just doing it because I want to, not because I'm getting paid or told or expected or anything. And I understand that not everybody has the means, skill, or ability to do that. And all of those are technically privileges that, like, aren't necessarily always thought of as something that's luxurious. It is a luxury to be able to say, I'm gonna take off the curly wig and wear the straight wig tomorrow, or I'm going to take off this one and put on that one tomorrow and look good and feel confident and be happy with that. Like, I was telling you the other day, like, I have this gorgeous wig that I haven't worn yet, these baddie bundles, and I was telling you, like, you know what, I'm going to install it this time rather than do it myself. That in itself is a luxury, but because it doesn't have Gucci stamped on it, some people don't look at it as a luxury.
Exactly.
You and get that, what I'm saying?
And that what irritates me, though, because it's like the same people that you're buying this luxury from, you know, they started somewhere. You know what I mean? So
you
look down on all these other brands, but, you know, they can become luxury as well. So it's not, that's why I don't worship it, because, you know, a bag is a bag is a bag is a bag. Like, you know what I mean? You can't bury me with it, right? So
some people would.
And that's true. But, like, I don't, you know, look down on anyone that buys it. Hell no. Especially if you can afford it. Like, good for you. Life has brought you that. But for me, like, it's different if I'm living a lifestyle where I can afford that. Okay, why not? You know, where it's not, you know, I'm not breaking the bank to do it. No problem. You know, why not? More power to you, you know? But I'm just not, it's just not that deep for me. You know, where some girls are, like, literally selling front to be wearing Michael Kors, you know what I mean?
Right. Or they think that they're backing,
that's your choice, but, you know,
for sure. Or they think that having this thing makes them somebody, you know?
Right. It's what's giving them class. Exactly.
Yes. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, because it's like, I'm not gonna lie, I do judge people who, for example, aren't paying their rent or aren't paying certain, like, essential survivable needs. Like, if you need food, you need shelter, you need warmth, certain that kind of stuff, and you don't pay for those stuff and you don't prioritize that stuff, but then you're prioritizing, like, Prada and Valentino and like then I'm judging you because I'm thinking, like, your priorities aren't straight. Like, no shade, but a pair of sunglasses isn't gonna feed you. You can't eat that bag. Like, you can't eat those shoes.
Like, you're out here paying Louis Vuitton's light bill and paying for his trips to go across the world when your own friggin' hydro bill is, your lights are getting turned off at your house, you know?
Right.
That's where I have a problem. Or you have kids and, you know, you're not living right for your, you know, or giving them the best that they could get because you want a stunt, or you just want them to be wearing all Prada and blah, 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 and this and that, but you're like, yeah, your heat's turned off. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, that's where I judge.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And one thing I will say, like, the father of my kid, he does not wear any cheap clothes, okay? He doesn't wear nothing cheap. He does not buy anything. Well, he will buy like some affordable clothes for my kids, you know, but like he loves seeing my kids wearing nice things. And I'm like, I love that because for me, it's when it comes to my kids, I'd rather my kids looking fly and I'm the one wearing the friggin' thrift store clothes. You know what I mean? Like, but right, my kids are good, but I'm still not breaking the bank to do that either. But, you know what I mean?
But I was going to say the tea of it is, though, there's a lot of these bigger brands or like popular brands that because that have you think that because you're spending more money that you're getting better quality clothes, and it's really not, though.
And of course
it's really not, though. Like, I've had brand name shit that falls apart. Yeah, like I've had brand name shit that falls apart, so it's like, what are you really paying for?
So true.
Okay, now I'm gonna ask you another question, okay? Because there's a story behind this one. Have you ever been in a situation where you bought something that you know your ass has no business buying, just to wear for like a day and then bring it back?
Of course. Girl.
Really? I could never. I have too much shame.
Girl.
I have too much pride. Yeah.
No, but not bring it back. I didn't bring it back. I wore, okay, girl, you already know my story. I'm like, damn, okay. And I'm still sad about it, okay? So way back in like 2008, 2009, okay?
Okay.
I'm on the internet.
Okay.
And I didn't know what to do with my hair. I'm at university. I don't know what to do. I'm like, frig, I'm sick of this. My hair, natty, ratty, blah, blah, blah. I find a website talking about full lace wigs. This girl has this gorgeous wig.
Yeah, you were on lace wigs before lace wigs were on lace wigs.
Girl, I will straight up.
Yo, straight up. Trendsetter.
Fucking Instagram.
Trendsetter alert. Trendsetter alert.
I was a thirst trap before these other girls were even thirsty, before they were even parched, before they even knew what to wear the well was. Okay,
yo, facts, facts. Sorry, okay. Go on. No, I just have to point that on. I have to point that out. You were a trend setter.
Girl,
before the trend was even set. Sorry,
thank
keep
you.
Going.
Before they even knew it was a trend. Before they keep even going. Knew it was coming. Girl, it was going. The same way in high school, too. In high school, I wore my first weave. I was the first girl to wear a full head weave in high school as well.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
And these hoes tried to make fun of me. And I'm like, girl, like, and it had blonde streaks. First black chick wearing blonde hair. It just a couple blonde streaks. And then they kept calling me blonde. Yeah. But it was funny. So I set that trend too. But anyway, so in university, I went to my full lace wig.
Yes.
I bought it. Girl, I spent $300, okay?
I remember.
On this wig. Yes.
I can never forget.
I wore it. It was sick. But I didn't know how to style it. So I got frustrated with the wig. Like, it looked cute, but there was like, I didn't know how everybody right now bleaches the knots and, you know, plucks the lace and does all
yeah,
the
new stuff. Yeah, that's now like an everyday thing.
Right, the way now it's so common, like it was so new back then that, and I couldn't afford, like, I spent all my money on the damn wig. I couldn't afford no freaking stylist after that. I was like, damn, I had to break the bank for the wig itself, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, I ended up getting so pissed off. I ended up giving the wig away to my cousin because I had it in a bag for like years, okay?
I remember I asked you one day, I'm like, hey girl, what happened to the wig? I haven't seen it yet. And you're like, oh, I couldn't stand it. I was like, ah. You're like, I gave it to my cousin. I was like, ah.
yeah. Up to now, my shiesty cousin, instead of telling me, like, girl, this is what you should do with it, the girl took the damn thing. I'm sure she cut it up into little pieces and made a bunch of lace fronts with it. Okay?
I'm dying. Like, I'm dying.
That's what I believe she did. Her little shiesty friends. Anyway, but that is my kind of like buy and kind of, you know, spend so much money and get embarrassed later story. I was like, girl, I really spent $300 to just throw it down the drain. Like, really? Okay.
Oh my gosh. No, I had a friend. And like, maybe, I guess, and I feel like these are moments where I'm like, yes, I am a bougie ass bitch, okay? I had a friend who told me, like, she thought it was a flex to tell me that, like, oh, I bought this dress and it was like 100 and something. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. Like, good for you, indulging in yourself, whatever. And she's like, yeah, I wore it once for like this date and then I brought it back. I'm like, you what?
Mm-mm.
I'm like, and then here's me with my dumbass. But how, like, how are you able to bring it back? She's like, oh, I kept the tags on. And then here's me with my extra dumbass. So how'd you clean it?
Because I'm thinking
when you wear something, you're sweating it, you do whatever, you put it in the wash, you wash it, right? The girl didn't do shit. And after that, girl, I was so turned off. I was so turned off. I was just like, I'm never going to be one of those girls. Like, if I ever bring back anything, it's because something's the wrong size or the wrong color. Like, I'd be damned ever do that.
No, I get that. Like, for me, it's more like I completely understand the logic. Like, my cheapness would make me want to do that. But I'm too late.
My pride,
like,
could never.
Who's really going there? Who's freaking walking never. Back and forth? Like, I'm just too lazy to do that shit. Like, I'm cheap enough to do it. Fuck yeah. I love that. But I'm more like, if I'm going back to the store, I'm just buying something else. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I've done things where I bought an outfit, didn't like the way it looked on me. So I wore it for one day and then returned it and exchanged it for something else. Wore that for one day, then brought it back, exchanged that for something else. Like, I've done that before. Because and just to have a different look at school on the same receipt, you know?
I'm dying. Stop this.
Yeah, I've done that. Just because I'm like, fuck, I don't like it, but I'm still fucking wearing it because then I wasted my time buying it in the first place. So I wore it for the one day. It didn't look perfect. So I just returned it, you know, and I got something I really like. So it was really funny. Yeah,
it's funny because we're talking about all these weird quirky habits, but like, even growing up, I remember my mom used to say, she's just like Lord help you and any of your future kids, because they can never get anything from you that's actually new. Anything you have worn it at least once. I'm like, yup, because that's the point. You know, like, I wear my clothes, I don't collect them, I'm not a store. But thanks. Like, oh my gosh, yeah, she would always laugh at me about that. But now that I'm older and she's older, she gets it now. She's like, oh, you know what? Good for you that you wear your stuff. Like, that's the point of life. You're living life. Good for you. And I'm like, thank you. Like, you're finally.
Does your mom buy things to not wear it? Is that why?
Well, here's the thing. My mom buys things and she'll put things down for the occasion. Where it's like, girl, I used to be the occasion. So I would just wear it just to wear it, right?
Yeah.
And it's funny, now that I'm older, I'm kind of starting to set into that way, you know? Like, because like I said, even with the cute wig and stuff, like, girl, if it was old me, that wig would have been worn, photographed, on tour, everything. But now I'm just like, girl, I have like even two wigs actually that are literally on standby for the correct moment.
I love it.
For the correct moment. So
it's
we'll
so
see.
Fun. Yeah. No, I get that. I really do get that. For me, I do have a couple of dresses that I've been waiting for an occasion to wear.
Oh,
the
girl.
Problem with that, though, is, girl, I went and gained weight now. I can't even get into that dress right now.
Oh, no.
I'm like, girl, I'm done now. I can't. Like, I got my little COVID cushion. Baby got back. I ain't complaining about that. But, like, that one of the dresses is really cute. And I bought it, like, with my ex-boyfriend had bought it for me. And, like, I never ended up wearing it because I ended up at the back of my closet and I'd always look at it like, oh yeah, I have to think of somewhere to wear that to. Oh yeah, every time I go in, I gotta think of somewhere to wear that. I just never wore it. And now look, at it's 2021 and me can't fit no size extra small no more. And I'm barely a small now, so I can't even think of that.
I'm thankful that I'm starting to have the opposite problem where, like, I bought a bunch of clothes and, girl, I have clothes amazingly, I still have clothes with the tag on because they're formal enough that I have nowhere to wear them to. Mm-hmm. But like now, girl, they're too big. They're too big.
Tag on Poshmark.com.
Yo, I'm debating on maybe I should, because it's like I have a lot of things that look nice, but they don't quite fit me. And yeah. I'm not trying to gain back weight. So it's like, I don't know if I'm going to just sell them or what I'm going to do. I don't know. I have to figure it out. But that part makes me feel a little extra bougie in my life, because it's like, I have a closet, like my closet. You see my closet.
Oh, yeah. My God.
My closet is so packed that like I don't even know what to do with it. Like when this man and I started living together, like I had a small panic attack because I didn't know where he was gonna put his clothes. So yeah, so like now like half the closet is full of brand new shit that I haven't gotten a chance to wear because it's COVID. I have nowhere to go, nowhere to stunt. And yeah, and like now a good number of the stuff is too big, so it can't even fit when I want it to fit, but I'll figure it out. I don't know. But speaking of luxury, now when you hear the word luxury, what other words come to mind? Like that you do, like, let's do almost like a word association.
And you know what, I was gonna bring this up and I'm glad you said it because I had forgotten to touch on this, but the first thing I thought of when you said luxury was diamonds.
Okay, yes,
so that gets us into the realm of rings and weddings and, you know, those types of gifts. And for me, I used to, like, I'm such an anti, like, I'm a bougie stush bitch, but I'm an anti-wealth, not anti-wealth, but anti, like, I'm anti-monarchy. I'm anti that friggin', like, elitist. I'm anti-elitist. Let's put it that way. So I don't like name brand, but I like to look like a stush bitch and bougie and look good in my own way, but I don't like the whole clicky, you know, us holier than thou-ness of like name brands and fashion shows and only you can get in and monarchies and like people who think they're holier than thou. I can't stand that stuff.
The elitism.
Yeah, elitism. That annoys the crap out of me. Yeah, but when I, when I even think of diamonds, I would even think like, at a point I was thinking like, if I got married, I don't even want a man to propose to me with a diamond because first of all, they're all blood diamonds, okay? And you can't prove to me that I ain't. And so, you know, I was all like that in the beginning. I've since simmered down because you know what? It is what it is. And like, I can't conquer every freaking mountain. You know what I mean? So I'm willing to get married and get a diamond and all that crap because at the end of the day, they're there. So, you know, but I used to be so anti-diamonds too. Like I used to really be. And you know, I've changed since then, but keep going.
No, I was going to say, I'm still actually anti-diamond. There, and just like understanding like wedding planning and having an event a background in event management and stuff. I have like I see how much they upcharge a lot of things just because it has the word wedding associated with it. So it definitely turns me off in certain aspects. But it's funny, I wouldn't want a diamond ring. Like if I get one, it's like, okay, fine. But like ideally I would love moissanite. I would love a lab grown artificial diamond that was not like, you know, at the helm of, you know, on the, I guess, without blood on my hands is what I'm trying to say. Like, it wasn't done because children were mining for diamonds in, like, the caves of some form.
I agree with that. I like that. for me, I also, this is one thing too, that is another topic when I think of luxury as well, and as well, Black women in that space. What about Black luxury brands? You know, that's something that I want to explore more as well, because I feel like, you know, the main demographic of luxury, when you think of that, you think of, like, you know, those, like, a lot of non-people of color owned brands, right?
Right.
And so let's kind of talk about some Black luxury brands. I am, like, you know, I'm not a luxury snob at all. So, I mean, would it be like Baby Fat and like House of whatever, Beyonce, Darion, and all her like, what would you consider to be the high-end Black luxury? Because if I were buying luxury, that is where I'd want to put it. You know what I mean? Like, let's build up some of our communities and people of color and, you know,
I stuff mean, like that. I would definitely say Ivy Park is not necessarily high-end, but it's not low-end either, you know? It's kind of like a middle tier because of the fact that it's like, it falls into athleisure. So, because there are some pieces that are affordable to most people, but not everything is. Like, it would be impractical to get a whole outfit from Ivy Park and expect to spend under $100, you know? So just that just knowing that alone, that, like, it's not, like, you know, accessible. It's not accessible fashion. So I guess they kind of fall into that tier of luxury. I know that there's Telfar. Telfar is a Black-owned brand. Their bags became very, very, very popular recently. And they are, it sounds funny to say, they're affordable luxury. So they are accessible compared to, like, a Gucci, but they're still expensive. So, like, you can get, like, one of the large tote bags from Telfar for, like, somewhere between $200 to $400.
Okay.
Which, again, a more accessible person, like, $400 on a purse is a lot, but then compared to paying like $4,000 on a bag, that's very cheap. You know, there's that one. There's Telfar. There is Size or C's. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing their name properly, but, like, they also are like a purse and Black, you know, Black luxury line. They sell really cute purses. Statement purses specifically.
So how about this? How about we post, when we post this episode, we can also post, like, right after it, some luxury, like, we can tag some Black luxury companies so that we could bring some attention to these brands as well, because, you know, we need to start putting our dollars where our mouth is, you know? So
would
be really, really fun to encourage our people of color, our women of color, to support other luxury and women of color, for us to enter these spaces and, you know, enter these fashion shows and things like that, and make more of a statement for our own communities as well, where we hopefully that money will go back into our communities too, right?
No, I agree. We'll do, like, some sort of swipe, like a swipe thread. No, not a swipe up, because we can't do swipe ups, but just like a swipe, like a post where you can put multiple photos, and we'll post multiple designers and stuff like that. So people can see, like, there are, you know, brands. There's, like, Kahume. They do, girl, I love them. They do nude shoes and heels, but they do nudes for people of color and Black people. So that all their nudes are, like, different shades of nudes. They're beautiful. They're all leather, leather and suede, different level heels. They do flats, sandals, like, sorry. I can talk about that forever. But, we can definitely post something like that, because more visibility will hopefully increase the likelihood of accessibility, right?
Yeah. And I have a question for you as well. My question to you is, there was this
famous brand. I believe, was it Hermes or something like
Hermes?
That? Yes. And well, I don't know if it was them, but there is this brand apparently that a lot of Black women started buying. And apparently, yes, like the stakeholders were wondering, like, oh, that we're complaining that this would cheapen the brand because Black people were buying it more. And they were worried about, you know, the reputation and the luxury status of the bag, whether that would be impacted by people of color buying it.
Oh yeah. No. Oh yeah. So yeah, that was specifically the Hermes Kelly bag. It's a beautiful bag. It's a very expensive bag. It's about $10,000 or more. And it's funny because they're out here losing their minds, crying over, oh my gosh, the value is going to go down because so many Black people are buying it. No, it's not going to go down because now everybody and their mamas, everybody and their nurses and their dentists and their doctors wants to own a Kelly bag. There's nothing wrong with that. Half the time people buy Kelly bags that are resold because Hermes only makes a certain amount of Hermes bags. They don't make, they don't
supply, right?
Well, no, they could, but they don't.
Yeah, I know that's what keeps, but they just don't.
That's the what keeps the value. Yeah, the exclusivity, right, is what keeps its value. It's not who owns the bags that keeps its value. So when these people are over here crying like as if Hermes puts out 50,000 bags a year, no, they don't. Like, you need to just calm down.
This is the thing, though. Exactly. This is the thing that gets me, though, because I find it disgusting, degrading, and absolutely just beyond racist, okay?
For because sure.
To imply that Black people owning your product brings the value down in your product is to imply that by nature Black people are less valuable, that Black influence is less valuable.
Girl,
when in reality, everything us Black people do, your mama, your aunt, your uncle, your sister, your grandpa, anybody non-Black runs to do. Who's dominating the mainstream? Black people. Who's dominating sports? Black people. Who's dominating the fashion industry? Black people. Who has your kids twerking it for TikTok? Black people. It's like everything that Black culture does, it ends up mainstream. Who wants their hair cornrowed now? Everybody, because who started Black people? You know what I mean? So it's insulting to see the beautiful influence that we have on culture and mainstream trends, but we can't enter the upper echelons. It's like we're good enough for, you know, to the beat to be bouncing in the club for everybody, but we're not good enough to be at the ball, you know? And it's like you cannot put race as a determinant of class. That is disgusting to me. That is disgusting. That's dehumanizing. And it makes me want to friggin' go crazy in these streets. Like, it pisses me off.
And it's funny because it's like, I know I don't sound as upset. I just, like, that whole conversation is just a big old eye roll for me because it just reminds me of when Black people move into the suburbs and the white people look through their blinds and they're like, they don't belong here. You don't belong here. How'd you get here? How can you afford to live here? What do you mean? Like, that's it's just a different, it's the same conversation, but now it's done in purse form. And it's just like, and it's so many types of, or so many forms within society try to constrain and restrict what Black people, especially Black women, get to access in terms of convenience and luxury. Like, we're expected to work our backs off, break our backs just to get the bare minimum, while other races and other people are just given wealth, given luxuries, given convenience because of the fact that they are simply just women. And it definitely is a damn shame. And that's why I try to encourage other women to not only identify but appreciate this and indulge in this the other the everyday luxuries that we already have and that we already take advantage of that we don't even realize. That's like me talking about the whole collection of wigs. I indulge in the fact that I can be literally a different Nancy, Susan, Becky, Margaret, Keisha. Literally, I can wear a different wig every day for this month. And each one is different. It could be synthetic. It can be human. It could, like, don't get it twisted. My wig game is long, you know? And it's like, and like, even with like makeup, being able to do my makeup, like, some people will, you know, hating hoes that are never happy, will say like, oh, well, I'm sure she just has like dollar store or beauty supply makeup. Even if I did, who cares? That's an indulgence that I choose to do. But guess what? My makeup is maybe beauty supply store, is Fenty Beauty, is Pat McGrath, is like, you know, Tasha. Like, I could drop certain names and it's like, I'm not buying it because of the names. Except for Fenty Beauty and Pat McGrath. I specifically support those because they are black owned beauty brands. So those ones, yes, I do. As well as Beauty Bakery. I see, I'm like, oh, black owned brand. All right, if I'm going to buy something, let me buy from them.
Exactly.
But like, that range varies. It's not the biggest deal, is it? What I'm spending on stuff. It's what they do for me at the end of the day. Do I feel good wearing it? Am I happy wearing it? Do I feel like I look pretty? Do I look beautiful? Yes. If the answer is yes, right, then I'm getting it. Period.
Exactly. Exactly. And I agree 100% with that. And let's end on that bright note right there. If we like it, we get it. If we don't, we don't. And most of all, trying to remember to support our Black-owned businesses, especially during these times of need. It's COVID-19, you know, to date stamp this episode. You know, we are still in the pandemic struggle and, you know, we're going to come out. We will overcome. We will survive. This too shall pass. Do you have any final words for this episode, my love?
My final word is to support Black, buy Black, stop asking for a discount because they're not giving no more.
Facts.
Okay. The way that you can empty out your pockets for a regular big box store and or big box brand, you should be able to put your pockets out for Black luxury items. 9 times out of 10, not only are they better quality, they're better made. So boop, there's that. Yeah. And just, you know, keep supporting the dreams of others while indulging in your own personal self-love, self-support of, you know, wearing clothes that make you enjoy who you are.
Amen. Amen. So again, this is this at This Black Girl Podcast. You can find us on Spotify, YouTube, Overcast, Apple Podcasts,
Google Podcasts.
Yep.
All of them. All of that good stuff.
Everybody and the mama
find us. And okay, make sure to follow us on Instagram. That's when we post, when we release new episodes, and or subscribe to our podcast channel so you find out when newer episodes are coming out.
And one thing too, more importantly, check out our stories on our Instagram account. Our Instagram account is at This Black Girl Podcast, because we do frequently post whenever we're going to go live on Instagram. And ladies, you know it gets live. If you see our lives, you will see us dressed to the nines, always on point, eyebrows on fleek.
Amen.
And looking good for y'all to give you all that tea, all that good stuff. And if you have anything that you disagree with that you had heard today, bring it up, sis. Bring it, sis, because we can take all that smoke and we want that smoke. We love it. We love starting fires. We love putting them out, taking the smoke. We puff it. We get high off of it and we love it, and we bring it back to y'all and give you the real tea, okay? We get high off the steam of our own tea, baby girls. So bring it.
Oh, one last and final note is coming up with our next episode, not this one, but the next episode. We have a very special guest that will be hosting. We will turn our Black Girl Podcast into a Black Girl Trio, Black Girl Magic, so to speak. we have the lovely, beautiful, articulate, visionary, uplifting Jamesia Monroe. She is the CEO of Community Yoga, and she is going to be connecting with us and talking to us more about what she does as a holistic health coach and public speaker, as well as, you know, self-healing. Yeah, she's a nutritionist. She talks about spirituality, self-healing, self-growth, talking about spiritual journeys, chakras, alignments. It is beautiful. It is energizing. It is a great episode. I'm looking forward to sharing all of that with you guys. So look forward after this episode for the next one, because that is, that is it.
Yes, girl, the tea is hot, okay? And I may or may not have gotten some advice on how to finally find that man I'm looking for, okay? And cure me from this single life that I, against my will, that I'm living, okay? So definitely tune in, because the tea is hot as usual, and we got it. We got it all. We got it all for y'all here at this Black Girl Podcast. All right, girl. So you take care. You're good?
Yes, I'm great.
All right. This is at the Hill Diva on Instagram, signing out. Bye.
Bye.
And you're good. I thought you were going to...